Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Brilliant. Hey, you can take your seats. Oh, why don't you give the band a hand? Oh. Hey, well, it's great to be with you. Oh, my goodness. It has been some time. Hey, if you've come in the last couple of years, you may never have seen me before. My name's Ed, and I live in Leeds. Things are going great across there. Greetings from Leeds. But honestly, it has been years. I remember the very first message I ever preached, actually, was in Liverpool. So I remember turning up super nervous and just about managed to stumble some words out and we were done. But it is good to be here this morning. Hey, we should pray, shouldn't we, right now? Come on, let's pray right now. Father God, we pray for the big match this afternoon. And God, we pray for a victory for Liverpool. And we pray for this morning as well. We pray that you'd speak to us. We open our hearts and say, would you come and would you change us? In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, oh, very good. Hey, I'm a happy, I was going to say a happy bunny, which sounds totally wrong to say, because Leicester City got promoted this year to the Premier League. And so, honestly, since we got promoted, I've hardly been able to sleep with the excitement. And I'm kind of scared now as well, because I'm worried that we're going to get beaten in every match next year. But it is good. Hey, I realise, just over the last, like just recently, just thinking like, what's happened since I was last with you? I mean, Safi, we've been married. That's my wife. We've been married now for 5 years. And we've got a little boy called James who we adopted. And he has just been with us just a couple of weeks ago. We celebrated him being with us for 2 years. When I say celebrated, it wasn't really. In that James was up the entire night. Safi was sick. And so, you know, one of those nights, husbands, I don't know if you've had this, but where your wife's ill. And so I wake up and she's crying next to me and I feel like I should stay awake, but I really just want to go to sleep, bury my head under the pillow. You feel my pain. So that was us celebrating. Let me say, right, I realise, having had James for 2 years now, that you think, don't you, when you get married, Phil and Vicky will know this, when you get married, right, it kind of feels like life, it changes. It changes, like Vicky's laughing. She knows what I'm talking about. But life changes. But when you have a child, oh my goodness, like there's nothing that can prepare you. You know, my life now, we've got a toddler. Let me tell you about it. Just let me get some stuff off my chest this morning. That's what I kind of feel like I need to do. But life changes. You know, for my wife, it means a life of endless washing. For myself, James now, his favourite line, he's just got into The Lion King. I love Disney films. And so we've got all the classics that he's watching. And so he's now just starting to repeat lots of lines from The Lion King. So now we walk round. And as we walk round, he's there going, "The death of the king," which is Scar's song from Be Prepared. And so I'm kind of glad that we've got a queen on the throne at the moment, else we might get in some trouble. My little boy, we made a terrible mistake at the end of last year of taking him to the pantomime to see Jack and the Beanstalk. Honestly, it was a terrible mistake. Because since then, every single day without fail, 3 or 4 occasions, he wants us to tell the story to him. And I think, why on earth did we do it? But you see, I realise as a parent, life is, it's crazy, but it's kind of normal. You know, it's absolutely mad, but it's routine. You see, I realise that as a parent, there is a new normal. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Because I want to believe that for you this morning, that there is a brand new normal. There's a new normal that you're going to go away with today that you didn't have when you walked in. It's a new normal that's different to anyone else's. We're not going to compare ourselves this morning because there's a new normal for you. Let me say, this is Christianity. Come on, where we are changing, where there's a brand new normal. And, you know, I want to say, I'm believing for a new normal where it's normal for you to encounter the love and peace of God, where it's normal for you to live full of hope, where it's normal for you to rely upon God, where it's normal for you to tithe and to give and be generous, where it's normal for us to, you know, do the faith and the food and the friendship, to hang out with people, that invitation to this place would just be rife, that that'd be our normal. You know, where it's normal for us to just feel close to God and to know and experience his presence and his blessing. Let me say, perhaps this morning you come and you don't know God. I want to believe that today your new normal would just be taking a step closer. You know, perhaps you come in this morning thinking, you know what, I don't even know if God's real. Well, perhaps the new normal for you this morning is that your heart's going to just be a bit more open. Come on, there's a new normal for you this morning. And let me say, as a new normal comes for us, there's a new normal for this city as well. You see, there's a new normal where actually every single week, week in, week out, we will see people come, lift their hands and say, look, I want relationship with Jesus. That people will be saved. That I'm believing as we do baptisms, like, wouldn't it be, like, my prayer for in Leeds is thinking, when we do baptism service, wouldn't it be great if it wasn't just a slot in the service, but actually the whole service just had to be taken up because there's so many people who are just wanting to be baptized. I'm believing for a new normal. A new normal in our universities, in this city, that actually, there'd be the party spirit, but the party spirit wouldn't be because of drink and just that stuff, but instead it'd be a celebration of all God is doing upon the campuses. Come on, there's a new normal where actually as a church, there'd be so many people who are saying, look, I want to be involved in the teams. Yes, I want to get involved in that. That we're thinking, there's too many people for all the positions that we need to fill in a weekend. There's a new normal. You know, a few weeks ago, we took up our dream offering, didn't we? And what I loved was that actually for us, you know, it took, I'm sure it's the same for you, but it took a step of faith. You know, it took silencing the voices of doubt. It took a new level of heart for us to give as we did so generously. But I want to believe that that wasn't a one-off. I want to believe that it wasn't just that was there and then it's gone, but instead that level of heart, that level of faith, actually, for us right now, it's a brand new normal. That's what it represents. It's the benchmark now. It's our new normal. Our senior pastor, Dave, when he was talking about dreams, he said this. He said, there's five stages. He said, number one, I don't want to. Number two, I don't want to, but I will do. Number three, I don't want to, but I will do because it's good for me. Number four, I get to. And number five, I love to. I love to do this. I love to live this life. I love to do what I am doing. Can I say this morning, I don't want to force you into a new normal. This isn't about me putting you in some kind of headlock saying, look, new normal, get it now. I probably wouldn't manage to get you in a headlock, most of you, let's be honest. But that's not what it's about. You see, it's about a new normal that you love to do this. I want to believe that this is a new normal that just, it flows. You know, I remember when I went along to university, that's when I came back, became a part of Hope City Church. And I just remember my dad saying, hey, look, won't you just give a bit less time? You know, when it comes to the offerings, just give a little bit less. And can I say, I couldn't. You see, I'd never chosen actively to give that much time. It just happened. It just flowed because it was who I was. And I want to believe that this new normal, it's who you are. You know, it's us just loving doing what we're doing. It's like a river that flows. So today what I want to give you is just a few places that the new normal flows from. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a man who he gets a new normal. Great stuff. Is it coming up on screen? Are we here? Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. Took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Let me tell you today, first place that a new normal comes from, it comes from the way you see God. Picture the scene here, right? You got Zacchaeus. Jesus is coming through town, Jericho. So the bunting is out. You know, it's been made over the last few months. And, you know, they've probably got a little school band that are coming through, playing some tunes. The crowd are getting there. You know, there's kids with the light up things that they kind of swizzle around. They're there, you know, ready to celebrate because Jesus is coming. And, you know, they've heard the rumors. You know, perhaps he's healed someone. Hey, someone's been raised from the dead. And there's Zacchaeus. He's in the office. He's working late. You know, he's trying to get that last email off before he can get out. And he gets out there and he's hoping to get a front row seat. And there's the crowd. If only he had a child, right? If only he had a child, he could do what I like to do, which is just force James through. And then as he walks through to the front of the crowd, go, James, what are you doing? And then you're like, good work, son. We are now at the front of this crowd. But if only he doesn't have a child. And so he climbs a tree thinking, I just want to see Jesus. You see, all Zacchaeus wants is he wants a glimpse. You know, if he can get a selfie, you know, with himself here and Jesus just in the background, he has done well for the day. You know, perhaps he's thinking, if I can get my autograph book. Anyone got an autograph book? Used to have those as a kid. Yes. You'd have all your footballers' signatures in. It was brilliant. He's thinking, if I could get a signed autograph, this would make my month. Because, you know, he's thinking, Jesus is a busy man. You know, he's got some other people to heal. You know, perhaps he's thinking, well, Jesus, he's like one of those celebrity figures who, you know, he's only interested in himself and building up his own name. But whatever happens, he's there. He just goes as one of a crowd. He went as an observer. Can I say, perhaps when you see God, you feel like God is just passing you by. You thought that God was only interested in himself and in his name. And your thought is, well, how could he be interested in me? You know, there's nothing particularly special or different. It just feels like God is perhaps indifferent, that he's passing you by. And yet I love what it says in verse 5. It says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus. He called him by name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Don't you love that? That Jesus, however big a name, you know, the creator of the universe, the healer, that as he doesn't pass him by, but he stops and he sees and he knows his name. Can I say to you today that God sees? That today he stops? That today he knows your name? That he is personal? And I love the words of Jesus. Hey, I must be a guest in your home today. Can I say, you want to see the heart of God? Look no further. Look no further. I must be a guest. I must be a guest. I'm not indifferent. I'm not passing you by. I must be a guest in your home today because I want relationship. Come on, that's what our God wants with us. He desires relationship. He's not indifferent. He's not forgotten you. He's not just some hotshot interested in himself because he knows your life, your name, your background, your quirks. Come on, he knows you. And I love he says, I must be a guest in your home today. See, he doesn't say in your workplace. You know where he can check, get a reference, see how successful you've been. He doesn't go along to your bank to see your statement, you know, to see your success. He doesn't even come to your church where he can see you on your best behavior. I know, we know. Come on, he comes to your home. He comes to your home where you slob around. He comes to your home where you mess up. You see, God is not afraid of the real you. He's not scared of that. And he says, look, I must be a guest in your home today. You know, Zacchaeus could have turned around and just said, no thanks. But he chose to let him in. Can I say for some of you, this is your new normal. Come on, for so long, the door has been shut. But God's there saying, hey, look, I must be a guest in your home. Come on, today, your new normal. Just open up the door. Why don't you take the chain off the door this morning? I don't know about you, but when you get people around your house, any of you do this, you close some doors. Yeah? There's some doors that people should not go behind. And I really think that for some of us, right, as Jesus comes today and says, I must be a guest in your home, there's some doors that are keeping well shut. You know, you've let God in, but it's like, hey, God, don't come here because there's a skeleton in the cupboard just here. And I've got a bit of shame here and I don't want to show you this. But can I say today, won't you open up the doors? Come on, that skeleton in the cupboard, won't you let him in? Let him be a guest in your home, because you see, he wants to be a guest in your home. But when he does that, he also wants to then come and take residence in your heart. He doesn't just want to come into your home. He wants to make home in your life. So today, your new normal. Come on, won't you open the door? Because let me say, when Jesus comes in, he wants to come in and heal. He wants to come in and restore. He wants to tidy up some of the messy areas of your life. Back to Zacchaeus for a minute. Let me say, what did he think when he saw God? Let me say, I reckon he'd have thought of someone who was mad with him. Because you've got Zacchaeus. He's chosen to live. You know, he's a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. And so he's gathered money, he's stolen and cheated from people. He's lived for the pleasures of today. And so then you've got Jesus coming by, and Zacchaeus would be thinking, well, God, Jesus would be angry with me. You know, he'd be disappointed, he'd be holding a grudge. But I love Jesus. In full knowledge of who Zacchaeus is, of what he's done, he doesn't come accusing. He doesn't come pointing the finger saying, hey, look, I remember. I know what you did. You know, he doesn't just walk by, give him the silent treatment. You know, there's no implosion. There's no explosion. I don't know whether you implode or explode, but there's none of that. Zacchaeus must have thought it was coming, right, because Jesus comes and says, quick, get down here. So Zacchaeus is thinking, oh no, this is like the headmaster's office. Oh no, I'm in trouble. He just says, hey, I've got to be a guest in your home. And suddenly those feelings of shame, they go. You see, suddenly discovers that God's not angry. He's not holding a grudge. Because the Bible says that he's slow to anger, that he is quick to forgive. You see, our God is a God of forgiveness. Our God is a God of love. He is gracious. And some of you this morning come thinking God's angry with you. You know, perhaps it's that there's been some disaster, you know, some sickness in the family, and you're thinking, well, God, this is you being angry with me. Can I say, stop thinking that way. That it is not true. You're thinking, is God punishing me? Can I say no? Because our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of forgiveness. So he doesn't come punishing you today. Let me flip it around and say, perhaps you come today and you're angry with God. You know, perhaps you're disappointed with how some things have turned out. Perhaps your kids are away from God and you're thinking, God, I'm just so angry about this. You know, don't we often ask the question, hey, where's God in my pain? I've realized that that's the wrong question. That we come saying, God, where are you in my pain? Because that leads us to say, God, you care. God, do you even exist? Because where are you in my pain? Can I say, I've realized that we need to change our question. And that actually we need to ask the question, God, who are you in my pain? You see, my mom has had Alzheimer's now for about the last 5-6 years. And she's at the point now where she barely recognizes me. Can I say, I've discovered, leave the question, God, where are you in my pain? And instead say, God, who are you? Who are you in my pain? Because I love what Hebrews 1 says. It says, long ago, God spoke many times, many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. In other words, he has confirmed his character through Jesus Christ. Can I say, his character is not revealed in any circumstance of your life, but instead it's revealed in Jesus Christ. The final word on God has been spoken through his son. He is revealed in Jesus, his absolute commitment, his absolute devotion to you, and also the supremacy of his power. You see, in Jesus, we see a God who is loving, who's faithful, who is committed. Can I say, if you're in that place this morning thinking, well, God, am I angry? Can I say, come on, time to drop the questions. Come on, time to change the question and know, God, who are you in my pain? Gosh, I see who you are. So right now I draw close to you. You know, the other week, I don't usually have pictures. The other week, I got a picture in worship. And it was of a dot to dot. God speaks to me simply. He knows how I work. And dot to dot picture. Funny thing with dot to dot, right, is you're doing it. And you know, like the dots are in weird, like most of them are bunched together. And then there's one that's like way out. And you're thinking, how is this? This isn't part of the picture. This one is a mistake. Let's just scrub it out and then we'll be all right. But then you do the picture and you look at it at the end and you think, wow, every dot every dot in just the right place. Can I say, in your life, so often we do that and look at our lives and think, God, most of it makes sense. God, I believe that you're working all things together for good, but this one just should be, just get rid of it. And then it would make sense. But God's saying, hey, look, can't you see, just as in a dot to dot, every dot in just the right place, that it's exactly the same in our lives, that God is drawing, that he is creating an incredible picture out of our lives, and every dot is in just the right place. He's faithful to you. Come on, our God is personal. He's gracious. He cares. He sees. He knows. He forgives. He loves. He is faithful. Second place that a new normal flows from is the way you see you. You see, take Zacchaeus. A whole lot of things that shaped how he saw himself. You know, he's a tax collector. So it's his gift. It's his job. You know, he's got some money. He's had some success. Then there's the words of others that says, hey, look, you're a notorious sinner. You know, then there's the fact that he's a short man. He has to climb a tree. And so that's all part of, you know what, the way he sees himself. And isn't that the way for us? That so often it's our job and it's our role. You know, it's our success and our failures. It's our looks. It's the words of others that so often come to define us. And yet, let me say that the way you see God has to impact. It has to impact the way that you see you. You see, this is, try and get this right. This is pretty complex stuff right now. But if God is a God who sees, then you are seen. I told you it was complex. If God is a God who knows, then you are known. If God is a God who forgives, then you are forgiven. Come on, it's time. It's time for you to forgive yourself of some stuff because God's forgiven it. God's moved on. He's forgotten it. But it's time for you to forgive yourself. Come on, for some of you, can I say the action in that? Because it's all well knowing it. And yet actually, sometimes there just needs to be an action in saying, right, I know now I'm forgiven. You know, perhaps it's thinking, you know what, I'm not going to think, allow myself to think that way. It might be that you're writing a letter to someone to say, hey, look, please forgive me. Because even though you know you're forgiven by God, it's your way of saying, I'm cutting this thought line off right now. But can I say for some of you, get baptized. Come on, as we've got our baptism service, get baptized because it's your sign of saying, hey, look, right now I know. I know beyond all doubt that I am absolutely forgiven. And so this is my action, that I will be baptized. If God is a God who loves, then you are loved. You don't need to look for it in a relationship. Come on, you don't need to find it there because you have the love of God. If God is a God who is personal, if he comes into your home as a guest in your home, but he also comes to take residence in your heart, let me say he does it by his Holy Spirit. And so if God is a God who is personal, then we are spirit-filled. Ephesians 1:13 says, it says, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised us long ago. And you see, it's that Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that it empowers us and it gives us a brand new vision. Because Ephesians 1:19 goes on, it says, I pray you'd understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So right now, you have the Spirit. Come on, this is the power. It's the Spirit. Because God is personal, we're Spirit-filled. And now there's a brand new power for you. It's the same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus Christ, that lifted him out of the grave. Come on, it's in you today. And that same power brings you a brand new vision because it says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For God's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim captives will be released, prisoners will be freed. Come on. The Holy Spirit's in you. Come on, we need to live as if we're sent because the Holy Spirit is in us. There's a new power. There's a new Spirit. Let's no longer see ourselves as small and insignificant because we're Spirit-filled. If God is faithful, then we can be faith-filled. The other day, my little boy James, he runs up to me. He's got this terrible habit of like running kind of at people's legs, but he's kind of at that height where he just kind of plunges his head into your bottom. And so he runs up to me, he does that, and he grabs onto my leg, and he says these words. He says, Daddy, I got you. And I thought, I'll have some fun. So I just picked him up, put him in my arms like a baby. He's still holding onto my arm. And I said to him, I said, James, what's happening now? He's holding onto my arm. He says, Daddy, I got you. I'm thinking, I realize it's exactly the same for us, that so often we take a step of faith and we're holding onto God and we're saying, God, I need you. I need you to come through right now. God, I'm holding on to you as I step out right now because you've got to come through right now. And God's saying, if only you could see. If only you could see where you are right now, that I've got you right in the palms of my hands, that I'm holding you in my arms, just as you hold on and say, Daddy, I got you. He's saying, come on, I got you. Come on, you see, if God is faithful, then we can be faith-filled. Come on, it's time for us, our new normal, to step out in confidence upon the word of God, to step out and be faith-filled over our finances, over our friendships, in our invitations, in our workplaces, for healing, because God is a God who is faithful. Third place that a new normal flows from is the way you see others. See, the Bible says the people were displeased. Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner, notorious sinner. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor. If I've cheated people on the taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Don't you wish HMRC would do that? You know, like, oh, sorry, we're taking too much. So here's four times as much back. Oh, that would be unbelievable. But I love that, you know, this new normal for Zacchaeus. He saw that no longer were people there to be cheated. You know, no longer were they there to just serve him and his purposes. But instead, this was about him being generous. This was about him now being served. This was about him giving back. Some of you might know, when I was at uni, I studied law. And funny course, right, in that when you chat to people, and they said, oh, what do you do at uni? And I said, oh, I studied law. They kind of look at you a bit impressed. And I don't know if it's because they're thinking, gosh, you're a bit cleverer than you look, or, you know, something like that. But they kind of look a bit impressed. I've got to say, right, in all my time of studying and then training as a solicitor, it always just felt so normal. It never felt unusual, never felt special. And I realised the reason for that is that my dad was a solicitor for 40 years. And so for me, it just felt normal. And here's the reason. It's because all I did was follow in my father's footsteps. You know, I realise it's the same for us. That our new normal comes because all we're doing is just following in our dad's footsteps. You know, I love what it says. It says, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And you see, it's then that he sees the poor. It's then that he sees the need. It's then that he realizes that actually his life isn't about himself anymore, but it's about being generous to other people. You see, he stood before the Lord, eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ. You see, in that moment, he had the revelation. He had the understanding that he had a God, that he had a dad who was so generous to him, who so loved him that actually no longer could it just be about himself anymore, but it was about other people. You see, all he had to do was just follow in his dad's footsteps. You know, just take on, have that same heart of thinking, wow, this is what I've received. My salvation is so good that right now all I want to do is just go out and bless other people. You know, I love what Jesus goes on to say. He says this, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself. He came to seek and save those who are lost. And I just think that's a great key for us. That actually, you know, for people who aren't here this morning, you know, for people who are away from God, for the people who just are unchurched, can I say we've got to treat people as being lost? And I don't say that in a silly way like, oh, you're lost. I say that to say, because the truth is that no one intends to get lost. You know, you look in the Bible, there's a sheep that gets lost just because it gets busy chewing some grass. But you know, it's through preoccupation. Then there's a coin that gets lost. Well, that was someone else's fault. Someone lost that coin. You know, then you've got a son who just gets lost through his own miscalculations. Can I say, when people are lost, you know our role? Just to point people home. I'll just take a couple more minutes now. I love what Paul Scanlon says. He says, it's difficult to trust a stranger for directions. You know, whenever I'm going to make a journey across Leeds, I give my friend Jason a call because he's a friend and he knows Leeds unbelievably well. Can I say for us, I love that Jesus here, he was known as a friend of sinners. You see, for us, we need to be a friend because when people are lost, when people get to a stage of thinking, you know what, I'm not quite sure where I'm going right now, I need a bit of direction. Can I say, they're going to go to a friend. They want to go to a friend who it just looks like they've got a bit of direction. Seems like they know where they're going, but we've got to be a friend. Let me say, let's put the agenda of faith and food and friendship right at the very top of all that we are doing. Because it's so key that we're friends. That we're friends. So that when people come thinking, you know what, I'm lost right now. We're not a stranger. Let me say, as a church, come on. Let's not be a stranger in this city. But instead, let's be a friend who serves it well. And you know, I love with Zacchaeus. The Bible says of him, people said he was a notorious sinner. And that just gives me a great hope that there's no one. Let me say this over your world, over your family, that there's no one who is too lost right now. That there is no one who is too far away for God to come in and turn a life around. No one's too lost. Come on, we need to be here to be the friends, to welcome people home. We are, you know, code white. It's about us saying, hey, the fields are white for harvest. You know, that they are ready. Let me say that you and I, we are heaven's marketing campaign. You know, I love the words in just one of the old songs. It says, hey, look, it talks about God. It says, your mighty works displayed for all to see. And just one of the realizations for me was that actually that isn't just something that was written in the Bible, you know, about a Red Sea parting. But actually that's speaking of you and I, that we are God's mighty works on display, city on a hill for all people to see. Come on, I'm believing for a brand new normal. A new normal for you and I. It's a new normal that is going to bring a new normal for this city. It's going to flow, not forced. And yet, I'm just about to pray, but I love the words of Adele in Hometown Glory. She says this. She says, I like it in the city when two worlds collide. And I just think for some of us here this morning, that there is this normal, you know, of who God is, of what he says. And yet there's another normal. It's almost like there is another world that has coexisted for so long. And I want to believe that this morning there's going to be a collision. That there is going to be a collision. You see, for some of you, it's normal for you to absolutely love church on a Sunday. And yet it's also normal not to live it on a Monday. You know, for some of you, it's normal to believe that you're filled with the Spirit, and yet it's also normal never to have the confidence to speak out at work. You know, perhaps for you, it's normal to believe in God's forgiveness, and yet it's also normal to carry a whole heap of shame for your past. Perhaps it's normal for you to believe that God is big and that he is able, and yet the coexisting world is that it's normal for you to worry about almost every detail of your lives, and that as one thing kind of gets fixed, you just move on to the next worry. I want to believe in this moment right now, two worlds, they're going to collide. Come on, why don't we stand across this place right now? So I want to pray. Why don't you lift your hands to God? Father, we stand before you this morning, and God, we ask right now, let there be a collision course. Father, I pray that where it's been normal for us to believe that we carry the Holy Spirit, and yet it's so normal for us never to have the confidence to open our mouths, I pray right now, let there be a collision course in every life. God, right now, that the confidence, that the truth that we are filled with your Spirit, that it brings a brand new power upon us. I pray let there be a collision course right now. And I pray let the colliding be like the colliding of a juggernaut and a mini, that there would only be one winner. Let us live according to your spirit right now. God, I pray over every person this morning who just feels unloved or feels like they're carrying shame for their past. God, I pray this morning a collision course, that we would begin to live a life knowing that we are loved and absolutely forgiven by you, that shame this morning would wash away, because there is this morning right now a collision course. And Father, I pray right now, I just pray for every person who just feels like life's eaten up with worry. Just feels like worry just seems to be in every day. Seems to get the better of us. God, I pray this morning, let there be a collision course with the truth that you're a God who is big, that you're a God who is able, and that you're a God who is faithful. That right now, God, we thank you that you've got us with the picture that you have got our lives in your hands. God, I pray this morning, let that speak to every life. Let that be the truth for us this morning, that you have got us, that you are carrying us, that you hold our worlds. And I pray right now, let that truth, let there be that collision course that causes worry and burden that has been carried for so long. I pray, let it go. I pray, let that be handed across to you with the knowledge that you're a God who holds our worlds. And right now, God, we do pray, let there be a collision course in this city. Let there be a collision course with the truth that you died, that you love every single person. Let there be a collision course with that God's people as we go out this morning, that combines and that collides with the culture of this city here. And God, we declare, let it be the culture, let it be the collision of a juggernaut and a mini, that your kingdom would begin to rise, that your kingdom would begin to grow and expand, that the culture of heaven right now would come across this city, across our universities, across every life we pray, across our friends, across our family, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Let's lift him up. We thank you, God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.